Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news.
So it's my brother, can you spare a dime? My God shall supply my need. Don't have to beg because I am a thief. Cause every good and perfect gift comes from the Father who
All right. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Welcome to another broadcast on When Christians Speak Talk Radio. Today's broadcast is Matters of the Heart Singles Ministry. All right, I'm Ray Rose, and I'm joined by Maggie Wilson today, and we are about to get started in a few minutes. So, Maggie, how you doing?
I'm blessed. How are you today?
I'm blessed, too. I feel blessed, too. I think I sneezed just before the broadcast, Megan. You didn't hear that, right?
No, I didn't hear it.
Oh, good. Thank you. I was worried because I tried to put myself on mute. But anyway, y'all, yeah, we're going to have a little fun today, and we got some serious topics to talk about, of course. We're going to talk about the five love languages and everything, and I think we can do a words of affirmation and words of gift and everything. I got an opportunity to do this, to take the little test online a while back. But before we do that, let's go ahead and get into, open up in prayer, all right, because we want to start out in prayer. Father God, we thank you for another day in the land of the living. Thank you, God, for the things that you'll be doing during this broadcast. Thank you for those that are listening, God, from the different homes and all across the world, Lord Jesus. We thank you in advance, God. We pray that this broadcast, that you meet myself and Maggie and myself, will bring forth, God, the joy of you, Lord Jesus, for those that are singing, the joy of you to bring forth understanding, to bring forth patience, and God, and to bring forth, God, that the scriptures and the things that we talk about may be broken down so they be a blessing to the people of God. We thank you in advance, God. Continue to be a blessing to this ministry, Matters of the Heart Singers Ministry, God, and we say amen. So with that being said, if you have a desire to call into the show, the number is 646-478-0660. We are broadcasting live. For those that are listening through the different media, okay, I'm going to also open up the chat room. So if you want to leave a comment to the chat room, you can do so. Let me just make sure that it's operating properly. There we go. So we can talk about the five love languages. First of all, we're going to talk about affirmation, but I want Maggie to talk a little bit about the book, and she's going to help me out a lot because we can also got to give you the website. If you're interested in taking the test, then it will be able to give you a little bit more information. So go ahead, Maggie, please.
Okay, so you want me to describe the test, or what do you want me to describe?
Let's describe the test first, because I didn't pull that up, and I should have put that on the flyer, actually, when you can get the test done.
Oh, okay. So if you go – okay, so the Five Love Languages quiz is a free quiz that you can take online. All you have to do is type in the search in Google, Five Love Languages Quiz by Gary Chapman. And once you do that, it'll pull up. And it'll ask you whether you're married, because there's a test for married couples, there's a test for singles, and there's a test for children. And when you do that, you answer the series of questions, and then immediately you will get the response of what your number one love language is. There are five. You kind of get a gauge as to what all five are for you. But the top one is your primary, what we call your primary love language. So with that being said, it takes all of maybe 10 minutes, 15 tops. But I think it's a good tool to help guide you and understand you in developing or, you know, realizing who you are and what you're made of on the inside and what's required. And as you go on, even in relationships, whether it's marital relationships, whether it's family relationships, interacting with other people, learning what your primary love languages helps you out in that area a lot.
Amen. And like Megan was saying, one of the things I found out was when I started reading the book and listening, because I have the audio version too, how this all got started. You know, this started out as a teaching at the young man's particular church and everything like that. And one of the things I was excited about is that he does get in the book, he does get a lot of different scenarios or examples on how the five love languages operate. And quick, let me just look at something here. Go back to my main page. Let's talk about, real quick, let's go ahead and mention what they are. All right. The first one is affirmation. Okay.
Words of affirmation. Mm-hmm.
Words of affirmation. We're going to talk about that probably more in detail today and everything. And like when Megan had talked earlier about this, we sort of like made an agreement because we're not sure that we can get all five done in one day. So we probably spaced this out throughout the year and everything. Okay. So let me just go back. All right. So where's the affirmation? The second one is gifts. The third one is acts of service. The fourth one is quality time. And the fifth one is physical touch. Okay. And like Megan had given you the website, fivelovelanguages.com quizzes. They have exercises for singles, kids, and everything like that. But one of the things I noticed before we get into that words affirmation that he talked about, that he said that the five love languages is not just, even though he has it divided into singles, marriage, kids, and so forth, it could be your everyday person. You know, who you work with, or the one example he gives is the person that's a janitor in the office and stuff like, how do you use your love language to express what he's doing and stuff like that. And the whole purpose of it is to develop like relationships with each other and stuff. Because I believe you can correct me if I'm wrong, what we're seeing right now is a lack of relationships. And that's why you have hate and all that kind of stuff. They don't have a relationship with each other. They don't have a relationship with each other because you can't understand each other, and you don't understand each other because you don't know each other, and you definitely don't know about love languages. So what the book does, which I like, it breaks all of that down, okay? And hopefully what we'll be able to do on the broadcast today to do more or less the same thing, okay?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Now let me go back. Okay. Like, again, if you have a desire to call into the broadcast, we'd love to hear from you. The telephone number is 646-478-0660. I'm asking that you, when you call in, you press the number 1. That'll let me know that I have someone in the queue. The other thing that we're looking at probably is doing more Zoom and Facebook Live videos for the broadcast also, so that gives us the opportunity to even be more interactive, okay? All right. So when I took the test, the highest ones I had was the words of affirmation. At first I was like, I don't need nobody to affirm me and all that kind of stuff, you know. And I told Maggie that too at the same time. Like, I don't need nobody to be affirmed. I know who I am and comfortable who I am. But then when I began to read the book or begin to understand, and also make it help with that, begin to explain to me what about affirmation. I thought about, I want someone to tell, like, yeah, you did good today, or yes, Ray, you know, you're looking good, or whatever the case. But I want somebody to speak, especially for us men. We need that part. You know, that part more so. We want to hear whether our spouse or our friends or someone's encourage us. Because one of the things I noticed when I was married at the time, that it would encourage me to want to do more. When you hear somebody, oh, you know what? You really cut that grass good, as corny as that might be, you know. Oh, you really make that chicken, you know, and something like, you're like, oh, yeah, thank you. Let me do some more things to get you to say that, you know. We love hearing exhortation or encouragement, so to speak, in it, all down the line and stuff like that. So we love, so that was one of the ones that I had. I think I also had, I don't think I
that
had.
Was your
I had what?
And I was asking, was that your primary love language?
What, the affirmation? Yeah, the affirmation was my primary love language. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that was the primary and stuff. So I was really surprised by that. And I thought about it. You know, we all want to hear encouragement. We all, as men, we want to do that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
As men, we do it. I mean, I'm sure for women, too, you know. But women probably from a different area. Megan, maybe you can explain a little bit about that. From a woman's perspective, being single, how would you describe affirmation?
Well, if that's your primary love language, we have to emphasize on the primary part because, and it's amazing because my primary love language is quality time. However, I'm what they call bilingual, like when you have dual. I rank so high. So close with words of affirmation and quality time. So as a female, you know, words of affirmation, you want to hear from those who you are dealing with every day, whether it's your significant other, whether it's your children, you know, whether it's your spouse, you know, whether it's your friends, you want to hear positive things being said to you and, you know, something that's going to encourage you, something that's going to edify and build you up. You know, when your primary love language is words of affirmation, you're very sensitive as to what people say to you and how you receive it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just very important that when, you know, and I'm speaking to parents right now, that when you have a child that's their number one love language, you got to be careful and choose your words very carefully because you can damage that child by saying things to them that can be, you know, harsh or hard. Granted, kids get on our nerves, and we want to say whatever, you know, at the time, at the heat of the moment. But when you know that that's your child's love language, you walk with, I guess, on eggshells or a word of caution as to when it's time to discipline how you say a thing to them, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, as from speaking from a woman's perspective and being that that's my second top for my love language, I find it very interesting that words of affirmation and, you know, and I'm going back to when I was a child, that how people spoke down to me and said mean things to me and called me ugly and called me black and called me this and called me that. And I didn't know anything about words of affirmation.
Right.
But it damaged me. You know, it made me have like I struggled with low self-esteem growing up because of these things that were said to me, all these harsh words, you know, you'll never be anything, you'll never amount to anything. So that's why, you know, I dove straight into talking to our children because, you know, it's so important. Like, it took me years to get rid of those negative voices out of my head and out of my spirit, those things that were said to me, not knowing that that was, like, my number, you know, my very top love language is work. And it's so amazing how the two rank very, very high in the average, in the percentage that, you know, for the top two. So I think it's important, you know, and I know it sounds like I'm babbling, but I just think that it's really, really important that we watch what we say to one another, especially when you know that's that person's five, you know, that person's top love language, that person's primary love language. What is the Bible talks about, and I don't know if we can go here yet, and I might be jumping ahead, so you can stop me. But the Bible talks about in Proverbs 15 that a gentle answer, you know, brings you know, you got to watch how we answer, watch how we respond, watch what we say, because it can stir up wrath or it can stir up deceit and crush a person's spirit. So we got to be, I'm paraphrasing, we got to be so careful when we say things to people who that's their primary love language because you can damage their spirit.
Right. Right. And one of the things that with the words of affirmation, probably all of the different words, is the influential power that it has. That it has, you know, that it can influence people when we use words of affirmation, especially if that's their love language, okay, and everything. And it may not be your love language, but it might be their love language. So you want to be able to say things to encourage, to exhort, is the key word that Megan had talked about before about exhortation. I mean, to encourage someone, you know. In the things of Christ. So you want to have that kind of influential power. The other word that is that the writer used is the linguistic environment, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Linguistic environment. And that's also in a situation where you're hearing positive affirming words. And some of the examples that he gives is that some, like Megan said earlier, and me too, grew up hearing a lot of negative things growing up, mainly in school, not so much at home, because my mom was an encourager. She was an exhorter. And so was my whole family. They always said that you can be anything you want and stuff like that. If you put your mind to it, just go to school. My mom has always pushed education above everything else. But when I got to school, that was a different story. When I got to school, it was rough, man. And I didn't hear any kind of affirmation. You know, I heard everything that was negative, and it was influential. Influence my response to be either negative or to shut down completely and not say anything, you know, and everything. So that took some places. I was very quiet. I stayed more left to myself. I didn't say anything. I allow people at that time in school to bully and not a response. To bully me and don't give a response. Don't say, hey. You know, you can't talk to me like that. I didn't do none of that. I just accepted it because in most cases for me in school, and probably most of us probably agree that went through that kind of thing in school, it was more than one person. It was always a group. It was always a cluster. And all of them attacking at the same time. I mean, not physically, no. Nobody going to put their hands on me. And not like that, not while I was in school. But emotionally, yeah, you know. So that was an influential thing that allowed me to shut down to a point where I had very little to say while I was in the school. But when I came home, I felt free, you know. I felt free, yeah. But I should have been free in both situations. In that kind of environment, I should have been free from the start. But thank God he brought me out of that because I'm not that way there. Yeah, I'm not that way. Yeah, but that's an example of the power of words. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, remember the saying that we used to say as kids, and now that we realize it, it's like they do hurt. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me.
Yeah, in fact, you probably used to hear that from my parents, too. I know, why are you fighting? Words don't hurt you? But now it's like, yeah, it does. Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
And I wonder with the words of affirmation, is that may be a case of what's really going on in the school system and going on with not just those that are single, but this words of affirmation apply for those that are married, too. It can apply all across the board, even though we know there's still single ministry, okay? But are the kids missing that, or are they getting enough of that? Is it balanced wherein it is coming from school and home, you know? Because that balance is important, you know what I mean? That balance is important because if I only hear it at school, reverse role for me, if I only hear it at school, but go home and hear you ain't this and you're never going to be this, you know, I didn't want you or whatever the case might be, their kids or adults hear and remember when they grow up and stuff like that. How is that balancing out? But it needs to be balanced out completely and stuff like that. It needs to be balanced out even when we're talking with our peers, you know. And no one should be in a place where they can put you out. And we haven't even gotten into the church part yet. you know, and how many people has been beat up and stuff like that and not encouraged and not being affirmed and because of their preaching style or the way their dialect sounds, the way they sound and all these different things, you know. We're not even being talked about in the pulpit or inside the church and stuff like that because you and I both know, Megan, if you didn't sound a certain way at a certain period of time back in the day, then they didn't accept you as a preacher, and they definitely didn't really recognize you as a preacher if you was a woman and everything like that. So, I mean, you have to have that rasper or that grasp of your voice to sound a certain way and everything, and you got to tell that. So, but that encouragement, you know, or you should wait or all those things, different things that comes up. And instead of saying, look, you know what, I know that God has called you, so allow me to encourage you to continue on. There's some more things that got to be done to affirm you. But the thing is, when we really look at it, God has already affirmed us. We just have not walked in it yet and stuff. So, but anyway, go ahead, Maggie.
Yeah, you know, and that's true. You know, so when we also think of words of affirmation, we think of encouraging words of praise, you know, saying, praising an accomplishment or praising them for, some kind of recognition of something that they've done. You know, that's also words of affirmation. Having kind statements to that person, especially if you're married, you know, or even, you know, the children in a relationship. You know, that's your primary love language. You want to hear, you know, you did a good job or, you made a great effort at what you were working on and I appreciate you. You know, how many want to hear I appreciate you, especially as mothers when we're raising children and fathers, if we're raising children and we're doing things for them. Every once in a while, you want to hear, you know, I appreciate you, Mom. I appreciate you, Dad, you know, for what you've done or what you're doing for me or even to the child. I appreciate, you know, you took the trash out last night and you followed the rules of the house and, you know, you did your chores and I appreciate you for doing that, you know. And he even gives an example of when you tell a person you love them. If this is your primary love language, somebody could say, I love you. Or there's somebody could say, I love you. It's how we say it, you know, because if you put an I love you with a question mark, you don't sound like you love me. You sound like you question But when you saying it with some kind of emotion or some kind of, you know, help, good emotion and healthy feeling behind it, you know, affirming that feeling with that person, then yes, absolutely. You know, it's how we say things, you know, using those kind words, you know, to our significant other or to people that we engage with. I mean, for me, for example, I'm a firm believer that what you sow is what you reap. So even though that's one of my top prime, you know, love languages, I'm one who loves to encourage people. I love to tell people that they can do it. I love to push people in a positive way. You know, I tell my principal, you're the best principal I ever worked with. Like, you're the greatest. I tell the administrators in the offices, in my office where I work, you guys are doing an awesome job. Oh, my God, I thank you so much. You are always there to help me when I need help. People need to hear those words. Even if it's not their primary love language, people just want to know they're there for appreciating.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and that's a major thing. While Mike was talking and I was listening, I came across, let me turn to this scripture right here. It's coming out of Proverbs. I think Megan might have mentioned before, the Proverbs 18 and 21. It said, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it should eat the fruit thereof. And that's why it's very important about what comes out of our mouth, not just towards ourselves, but towards others, okay? Not just towards ourselves. So you can pronounce a curse on your child or your fiance or even your wife or without really meaning what you say and stuff like that. So we have to be extremely careful and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Then the other scripture I want to read is, let me see if I got it picked up. It's coming out of Psalms 12 and 3, and it says, the Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things. And we're not talking about flattery, okay? When I look at the words of affirmation, I'm not talking about somebody just giving you flattery just to make themselves feel good or to sound important, and they don't mean it. Okay, we talk about it from a position or from a place of love, okay, of a place of caring for someone, to be able to affirm something, that affirm someone that I care, to encourage someone that I care for and I want nothing for the best for, because that's what God has designed for them, okay? So that's what we're talking about, you know. So Lord said, cut off the old flattery lips, and then talk. Because there are people that do that, you know. You know, people that do that, man, they can flatter you up and down, and you be like, what in the world? they are flattering. Okay. All right. Let's continue on. You got anything else, Maggie?
For words of affirmation. So basically, this, you know, when these five love languages are very important for everyday life. You know, when communicating with friends, not just, you know, significant others or family, but even with friends, you know, just to communicate, period. I mean, it's like, okay, how can I communicate with somebody I don't know their love language? Well, do like I do. I'm like, I did it at work. I said to one of my ladies in the office right next to me, she was telling me about a family situation or whatever, and I said, have you ever heard of the five love languages? You guys should take that quiz and find out what your love language is, and that may help your communication. You know, something with her daughter, and her daughter was having a hard time, and they were, you know, not really connecting or communicating, because this is a good communication tool to use. You know, when we know who we are, and this is what it's, to me, this is what it's all about, learning myself, learning me, learning what's inside of me. And this is what we all endeavor to do. You know, we know some things about us, but God knows all things about us. And we thank God for Gary Chapman that he came up with the five love languages that helps us to understand ourselves a little more. Amen? So this is a tool for
community. Go ahead, man. Go ahead. No, I was waiting for you to finish.
I'm done.
Okay. All right. All right. Yeah, we're going to be doing this a lot. Okay. So just bear with us. All right. The other thing that he has in the book, that he said that there is relatively easy to speak this language. Because he's talking about people that have the ability to, in social circles, to encourage others. I consider myself, I love to encourage people. I do. Mm-hmm. I love it. Did you say, that's one of my gifts as an exhorter, you know, to encourage others, you know, to push others, to press others to the calling that God has in their life. I mean, even with their broadcast, this broadcast was started with Christian Speak Talk Radio as a way to encourage others that have gone through a stroke or depression or thought suicide, to show them that there's a more excellent way. So, yeah, that's one of my strongest gifts, exhortation, to encourage others and everything. And he says that these are the people who are known in their social circle as encouragers. They are constantly affirming, encouraging, expressing words of appreciation to others, okay? Constantly doing that and everything. Because if you have gone through so many things, you begin to see the value in others, okay? And you begin to appreciate the values in others along with the value that God has given you for yourself. Okay, and that way, therefore, you're willing to go to people and say, look, it's going to be okay. God got this. You're stronger than you think. There's more with you than would be in the world. You know, there's a legion of angels all around you right now that's going to help you. You begin to, and it sounds like it's prophetic, because all the gifts of the Spirit are connected in one form or another. But it's to a point when you begin to impress others that you're going to be okay. God got you. I know it hurts, you know. I know it's painful, but I'm going to affirm that God's, because the Lord has told me that you're going to make it through this. You're going to be a survivor, you know. Mm-hmm. And someone had to do that with me, you know. Someone had to do. I remember one of the pastor I was talking to at the time, he told me that he said, Ray, that sometimes you got to see yourself out of a situation. You know, if you're in the hospital bed, for example, you got to see yourself healed. You got to see yourself playing with your grandchildren, your children, and they eating a breakfast, and or I won't say eating McDonald's, but eating breakfast with family. You got to see it, because right now, if you're in a hospital room, most of the things you hear is bad news. You know, the reports you hear is overwhelming. It's like manifold trials and temptation, and not just in a hospital. I'm just using an example. At the same time. So you need someone to come in there, tap you on the shoulder, and begin to affirm you, and begin to encourage you, you know, like David did. David began to encourage himself into knowing his God, you know. As believers, we should be able to do that. But there's sometimes, you know, as back when I'm there, look, I need somebody to help me out here. I need somebody to affirm the things that God has already said to me. Okay, the things that God has said. So one of the things he wrote in the book to Megan, I'm going to turn it back over to you. He said the words of affirmation to someone else that don't have that gift, that don't have that desire to do anything like that, like to affirm others, it's like a foreign language. it's like the wife asking her husband, do you think I look good today? And like the husband goes, you look all right. you look all right. That's what the wife is looking for, a little bit more than that, you know. The wife is looking for a little bit more than just, you look all right. You look the same you did yesterday. You know, she might have just went out and got her hair done, nails, you know, for those that do that kind of thing. You know, bought a new dress, you know. He's still looking at the price of the dress. His focus is wrong. His focus is wrong. So, but you look all right. Go ahead.
Yeah, and also that child that's their primary love language, they did well in school. When they come home and they hand that report card over, or, you know, or that progress report, and the parent look at it and don't say anything to them or give them some kind of encouraging word to let them know they're proud of them for their accomplishment, that's harsh.
That's harsh. Yeah.
And working in a workplace, when you did the best you could do on the team to get that project, you know, handed in on time, and nobody shows their appreciation for how you went beyond the call of duty to do what's required to meet, you know, that task. Those things hurt.
Right. Yeah, they hurt. They do. And while you were saying that, I've thought about some young man or young woman, and you know, they do get the good grades. And they take it home to their parents, or they show a particular loved one, and the response they get, well, you're supposed to do that. You're supposed to be do that. We expect you to get good grades because of X, Y, Z, or whatever, and stuff like that. You know, not counting the work and other time that was put in and everything like that. But we need to encourage, your grades are awesome, you know. Affirming, your grades are awesome. Thank you. You know, you keep up the good work and stuff. Like, there's nothing that you can't do. Okay? Those type of things.
And I remember, and I actually heard this from a principal I was with before. Not now, before. When, you know, said y'all looking for kudos and pats on your back. You get it every 2 weeks when you get your paycheck.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Yeah, that didn't sound good. That wouldn't sound good. Yeah. No. So that'll sound good. One of the things that, again, he talked about is the linguistic environment. Linguistic. I was hoping I'm saying that right. Maybe you can correct me if I'm not. But I know we talked about the positive, but there's also the negative. And we even talked a little bit back and forth between the positive linguistic environment and the negative and everything. So the idea for having the words of affirmation is we want to focus on those things that are positive. So the scripture says those things that are good report, you know, those things that would do us good, you know what I mean, and everything like that. Yeah. The whole idea behind what we do, even as singles, we never want to be in a place where we are tearing someone else's down, especially just to lift our own self up. you know.
Right.
I don't want to be lorded over anybody or become to a place where and I feel like I'm more important, that I'm willing to tear you down completely and stuff like that. Because we never know. There's an old saying that the grandmothers used to say, you never know who you may meet on your way down. When you go up, you got to come down. You never know. The same people that you walked over or talked about, maybe the same people that on your way down you see. So you want to treat people with respect and with honor and dignity. Amen.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's see what else we got, Maggie. Did you want to go to?
We can go to receiving gifts now, or we can ask. Okay. If anybody have any questions? Does anybody have any questions?
No, I don't see any hands raised up. Okay. Did you check online?
I'm not seeing anything on the page.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Let me check. Hold on, Meg. Let me check the chat because I did open it up.
Thank you.
That's probably what Jesus talks about, right? Yeah.
What?
Okay. Okay. Nobody's in the chat room. Okay. Well, again, we can continue on. Again, if you have a desire to call into the show, the number here. Okay, let me just go back to my main page. I should know it by heart. But it's 646-478-0660. Just press the number 1 if you want to come in. And I do thank those that are listening in, okay? All right. And the chat is still open. So you also come, if you are online, if you go to the website, Blog Talk Radio website under When Christians Speak, you see the chat is open. You can also leave a message there, too. I'll be checking it off and on. Okay? All right.
But before we go on to the receiving gift, there's some things that he says, things to think about. And one is, to what degree did you receive words of affirmations from your parents? That's one. Number two, do you find it easy or difficult to speak words of affirmation to your parents and why? Because parents need it as well. If you
right.
find it difficult, is it time for you to take the initiative to express words of affirmation to your parents, to your family members? Number four is, how freely do you express words of affirmation in other relationships, right? And the last one is there a relationship you would like to enhance? Do you think speaking words of affirmation would be meaningful to that person? So these are some things to think about if that's your, you know, your primary the other person. And I said, not like we said in the beginning, I suggest everyone take this as it's so beneficial to have this information in your toolkit. I'm a firm believer of helping people develop their toolkit. So this is another tool to help learn you.
I want to, I'm not sure that we can, because I want to also continue to talk about it for me just for a little bit longer, if you don't mind, Maggie, okay? Because you brought up something that was interesting, and the book talked about that too, about the affirmation of parents. And I never knew that parents needed to be affirmed. And so I began to read. I mean, I take that back, because I do the same thing with my mom, and I think it's because I have the gift of always encouraging my mom that, you know, especially as she got older, stuff like that. And everything, but you never. I guess I never really thought of it that we as children need to tell our parents thank you, you did for doing this, or encourage them or affirm them. Mom, you know, you really came through for me, or Dad, you really looked out for me. Because what I tell a lot of people that I know that maybe have issues with them when I'm doing some form of counseling is that you only have one mother and one father. Okay, and you want to be able to express gratitude for all they did. At this point in my life now, I'm always telling my mom, I said, Mom, I know we didn't have much growing up, but you raised us, you know, as men. Okay, there was no father figure in the house, you know, and I know it's probably not the right thing to say, but she had to become a mother and a father to us and everything. And that's very hard for a woman to do, to become a man, of course, and to teach young men manly principles,
right.
And everything, you know. And a lot of that, came from, had, my uncles had to step in, or the pastor of the church had to step in to fill in the gap, because she can only do so much. But I began to thank my mom for everything, you know, and I began to tell her as a parent that she raised all of us in the church, the right. She made us go to church. You know, if there weren't no choice, there weren't no staying at home or I don't feel like it or whatever. No, you were going to get in the car and you were going to church. And if she had to leave and come back, that was a whole new story. And come back to get you. Yeah, she would do that too. But she made us go to church. And she taught us about serving God. You know, not just while we was in the church, but even at home, you know, she taught us basic principles about who God was and basic things of how we can trust God and everything like that. She taught each one of her boys how to cook. All four boys, taught her how to cook, how to clean the house. You won't go to sleep in the bed and not doing it. Now you're going to learn how to do these things so you won't have to worry about somebody cooking for you. Yeah, and then, I don't know what happened to my brother. That's another story, but I'm putting him out there. Yeah, but he could cook too. All of us could cook. But she did that. So one thing, I got an opportunity to tell her, you know, because she was feeling a little down, and I said, Mom, you know, I said, when I look at your life and all the things that you've gone through, all the things you've done just for us, but then for other people's kids and take care of them. She was a teacher and always exhorter, encouraging others and stuff like that. I said, you have done so much. You have made an impact on people's lives, you know, that we will never be, you know, we will never know the full extent. I remember that. Real quick question, then we're going to move on. I went somewhere with her and everything like that, and we ran into some of her old students. Then my mom is 84 now, and she didn't recognize any of these people, but they recognized her. And they were loving on her like crazy, you know. And I'm looking, I said, okay, Mom, who are these people? And she looking like, I don't know. But they would love her. Oh, they said, Miss Rose, I remember when you did this, Miss Rose, I remember, you know, because she affirmed those young kids. They couldn't, they was like 5 or 6 or something, growing up throughout the ages and stuff, like throughout the school, middle school, grade school, rather. She affirmed them. She encouraged them, you know. And I remember you did this. Your mom was something else. Your mom was amazing. I'm like, really? She was rough with us. Yeah, but she had 4 boys, so maybe that's why. But, yeah, so those are the things. You know, so affirm your parents, your mother and your father are still living. Go encourage them. Go let them know, like, you did okay. You did your – I even tell mothers, that single mothers that I talk to every now and then, like you did okay. You're doing what's supposed to do. You know, you have to do. All you can do is teach them. Go ahead.
That's it. You know, it's so, you know, when I think back with my mom, you know, and some things that, you know, and we don't know what kind of challenging things they had to face growing up.
Right.
So
right.
Some of the stuff that they battled with, or some of the things that, you know, it helps when we know, and then we use those words to build them up as parents. Like you said, you know, my kids, you know, tell me thank you all the time, you know, because they can, you know, do their own laundry and clean their own house and cook for themselves, you know. They tell me thank you. You know, I was home on my boys too, you know. I was married, but then, you know, I got divorced. So in the middle of the divorce, they were still young. So I basically was raising the household by myself, even though they had engagement with their dad. But it was hard. And it was like, they'll come back and they'll tell me, well, Mommy, you know, you was hard on me about this, but I appreciate it, because if he wasn't, then I probably would have went this way. So it's so important, because he uses this example in the book. If you know, if you guys decided you want to get the book, and we recommend that you do, because it's so helpful, because he gives so many scenarios that we're not able to dive into it within this 1 hour that we have.
Right.
But the reason why he gave these things to think about at the end of this chapter is because a lot of the scenarios that he gave was about a young man who struggled with his relationship with his parents because they were harsh on him. Mm. And his dad showed affection towards him. So he had the Gary Chapman counseled him and had to break down the stigma with him and break down this wall, so to speak, that he had up, that when he was able to break it down by digging back into his childhood and finding out what else, why is he having these difficult problems with these women? It stemmed back to the way he was raised and how his relationship was with his parents. So when he began to cultivate and develop those, his relationship with his parents, then later on he finds himself in a more healthier relationship. He was able to, he's never heard his parents tell him that they love him. He was able to begin to say it to them. When he said it to them, it struck a chord within them that now in return, before they would hang up the phone, they would say it back to him. This is powerful. And right. This is so needed. Like, you know, a lot of times we have to be that example that breaks that, you know, that breaks down that barrier to get to penetrate to somebody with the words. Oh, my God, this is so powerful. Right. With the words of affirmation, because that thing that he said, you know, his dad was harsh. His dad didn't stay on the phone with him long. And he, before he hung up, he said, "Dad, I love you." And his dad was like, he was hearing things like, what are you talking about? And he's like, "Dad, I love you." You know, not with the question mark, like, "I love you, love you." And his dad was shocked. But then when he kept saying it, I think at the third call, his dad was able to tell him, "I love you, son." That's powerful. That's powerful.
Yes, that is. So yes, it is.
You know, break down those walls, that, you know, dig in, you know, and that's what Gary Chapman did with this young man, and that's why he brought up the topic about, you know, these things that we should say to our parents, because our parents do need to know, I don't care how we were raised, that they are appreciated and that we do love them, because the mere fact is we would not be here if it had not been for them.
Right.
The Lord, of course, but...
Amen. Right. And the same thing, the other thing that's in the book, and I know we really got like about 10, 11 minutes left, but I want to bring this up too. He also talked about forgiveness. And when I saw that on the affirmation, I said, okay. I said about forgiveness. And I was like, okay. And what he says, let me just read a little bit. It says, processing hurt and anger in a positive way is essential if we are to speak affirming words. Okay, he said processing hurt and anger. And going back to the example that was used and what you were talking about earlier about the young man, there had to be a point in it that he had to begin to go through the process of forgiveness and processing the hurt and the anger to be able to say, even though he was instructed to do it, but he had to reach a point of forgiveness. Okay, what his parents did do or didn't do. And that's just not parents. Parents, that's all of us, y'all. That costs the board. You know, that forgiveness is a key, important part of being able to affirm somebody that you have developed a dislike for or a distrust for, or maybe they did something and you're still holding on to something. I hear this 30 years ago and stuff like that. Because we have to do this. You know, when I'm thinking, Maggie, about this word of affirmation, we have to do this with our enemies.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
We have to do this with our enemies and everything like that. You know, because Jesus gave an example. Hey, look, when they, and I'm paraphrasing, when they slap you on one, turn the other cheek and let them slap you on the other one. Let them slap you on the other one. Now, many of us, let's be for real, ain't there yet.
Right.
Many of us ain't there yet. But we have to be in a place and in a season where God is teaching us about forgiving and everything. Because if we can get through the forgiving part, then we'll be able to go through the affirming others and encouraging or the exhorting, encouraging others and stuff. Okay? All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see what else we got, Maggie. Is that it? Okay.
I didn't know which one is it. This is good, though. You know, we were able to delve into a lot in this chapter.
Right.
I think I would like to say that was good, but we do have Well, I guess you want to make some, because we do have an announcement for next month's broadcast.
Oh, yeah.
So next month we will have a married couple. They've been married. This is their second marriage, and they've been married now, I think, 15 or 17 years. And they will be coming to us out of North Carolina, our Pastor Burris and Teresa Burroughs. They will be talking to us single people and preparation if you want to be married or just how to maintain a holy single life. So we're going to be asking questions. We're going to ask that you chime in also and ask all the questions you want to ask. They are a powerful couple. This is their ministry. They deal with relationships. They do a lot of coaching, a lot of marital, and a lot of single platforms where they help a lot of single and married couples. And, you know, they're powerful, you know. So if you have questions in regards to relationship or singleness or just questions regarding life, period, chime in, log on, call in, ask your questions. They are very good resources, and they live what they and they practice what they preach.
Amen. Now, before we close out, I wanted to go read the five things that Maggie had mentioned earlier, but things to think about. And we talked about, to what degree do you receive words for affirmation from your parents? Do you find it easy or difficult to speak words of affirmation to your parents, and why? If you find it difficult, is it time for you to take the initiative to express words of affirmation to your parents? And then the fourth one is, how freely do you express words of affirmation in other relationships? You know, how freely do you do that? How, and the other part of that, I would say, is how often do you do that? You know,
right.
You know, how often,
right.
You know, do you do it? Is it a struggle to give words of affirmation for others and stuff like that? Are you able to do that? And even as someone that's receiving words of affirmation, do you look at it as flattery, you know, and stuff like that, instead of words, what it's really meant for? Do you look at it like that? The last one is there a relationship you would like to enhance? Do you think speaking words of affirmation would be meaningful to that person? Is that a relationship, especially for us being singles, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a potential? Is there a relationship, or is there desires that you have someone that you would like to talk to and stuff like that? How would you go about that? How would you be open to that? Amen? Amen.
Amen.
Okay. All right, Maggie, we got about 5 minutes. Anything else? And you can close us out, too.
check and see if there any
it is messages. Okay, give me a second.
And while you do that, you know, words of affirmation, even though that if that's not your primary love language, let's be real, who would not want to hear something encouraging, something that affirms, you know, something that will encourage your day, or even just kind words to someone. Who would not want to hear kind words daily from a friend, a relative, whomever? I think it's important we realize that, because, you know, everyone wants to hear something nice and sweet said by, you know, even just your friend.
That's true. Amen. I don't have anything in the chat, and I don't see anything in the studio either. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
You don't see anything online. Yeah, I don't see anything online.
Okay.
All right. So what's next?
Oh, you closing us out. No, you think of
us. We had a few minutes. But I wasn't sure. Okay.
No.
Okay. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for Matters of the Heart Singles Ministries, Lord God. We thank you, Father God, for you being present, Lord, for you setting your word, and two or three gathered together in your name, you are in the midst of us, Father. And we thank you, Lord God. Lord God, we hope and pray that what we said on tonight was able to encourage the heart of all the listeners and those who will listen to the replay, Father God. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, we ask that you touch the heart of every woman, every man, every boy, every girl that may be listening tonight, Lord. that they will feel encouraged and lifted up. Lord, that they learn something on tonight with words of affirmation, because even if it's not their primary love language, it's something that we all can share as a human being, one to another, Father. So you said love your neighbor as you love ourselves, Father God.
Yes.
And that's one way to start, by saying something kind and loving to the other person, Father. Father, we just thank you and bless you for you being our Father, for being our all-sufficient one, for being our source and our strength. We thank you, Father, even Lord God, for Pastor Ray on tonight, God. We ask that you continue to bless him as he endeavors to continue to build ministry, not just Matters of the Heart, but every platform of ministry that he has in Blog Talk Radio, Father. Father, we thank you and we bless you for you just being a supply and a strength, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that every need is met to the listeners on tonight, Lord God, even our international brothers and sisters, Father God. Father, we just thank you and we praise you now, Lord God. Lord, that we will know to say something sweet and kind to someone over the weekend. Let it start with us, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that we will be that example, that light, oh God, in the dark place, Father God, that we would be able to pour out love one to another, that our love would not wax cold, but that it would increase, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you and we bless you for what you're doing and how you're doing it. We thank you for this platform. We thank you for the doors that's been opened, Lord God, through this avenue, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. We bless you and we praise you now. In Jesus' name, we say thank you and amen.
Amen, amen, and amen. Well, y'all, again, we want to thank you for listening to Matters of the Heart Singers Ministry with myself, Ray Rose, and Megan Wilson, and at Owen Christian Speak Talk Radio. Please join us again, amen, for the next month. Megan has already given the information out next third Friday in July. We're excited about the couple coming on, all right? So stay tuned. Please share this broadcast on the different social media sites. Like us on Facebook page. We do have a Facebook page called Matters of the Heart Singers Ministry. It's for singles, okay? All right, it's for singles. All right, and we'll say it one more time. It's for singles, okay? Do not focus on trying to find nobody, no date, nothing like that. It's not matchmaking, but it's a singles ministry to talk about what singles need to talk about and the things that that deals with the heart. Okay, all right. So again, thank you for listening, and God bless you. I do want to have a couple of quick announcements I want to do towards the end and everything, but for those that got to leave, because I know we're almost out of time, don't forget about History Bound and Grace with Minister Vanessa Williams. It's every Tuesday at 7 p.m., declaring the finished work. Reverend Randall is Thursday at 12 noon. Friday Night Joy, amen, is at 7 p.m. That's the first and the third Friday. I think I said that right. Okay, I didn't say it right. Friday Night Joy is the first, the second, and the fourth Friday. Okay, and because Matters of the Heart comes on the third Friday of the month at 7 p.m. The Bread of Life is the first and the third Sunday. Challenge to Change with Pastor Paul Morgan is every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Unless the broadcast as follows. Lifeline with Apostle Shirley Jones is every first Monday at 7 p.m. The Bold and the Beautiful, Reverend Noreena Reed, Reverend Curtis Austin, Minister Georgiana Cunningham is every second Saturday at 10 a.m. Adoration with Evangelist Lewis McEwain is every third Monday of the month at 7 p.m. Marriage Takeover, The Body of One, with Reverend Eric and Reverend Tamika Thompson is every fourth Sunday at 7 p.m. Hour 3, Real Life, Real Men, and Real Talk with Ray, Antonio, Tyrone, Cleophas, and Elston is the second Sunday at 7 p.m. This is a broadcast geared towards men, okay? And, of course, don't forget about Midday Glory Prayer with Reverend Gwen Dixon. This is a free conference prayer. It's every Wednesday at 1 p.m. The dollar number is 712-770-5505. That's just code. It's 732-499. Okay, please check out all of these things that's going on WhenChristianSpeak.com. We do have a website. You'll find a little bit more information about us and about the different hosts. Thank you for listening, and God bless you. God bless you. Thank you, Maggie. See you later.
You're welcome.
God bless.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.